The state is working this week to muster an army of contact tracers, individuals who are reaching out to coronavirus patients to learn more about the places they've been and the people they've been in contact with. As Connecticut Public Radio's Patrick Scahill reports, the idea is to break the chain of COVID-19 transmission while also supporting the people being asked to self-quarantine.
Alana Usiskin says when she picks up the phone to call someone infected with coronavirus, she'll often ask them to think back over the past few days.
Sometimes I even walk people through a day and say, where did you go that day? Who did you have lunch with? Who did you have dinner with?
Usiskin is a medical student at Yale and one of 90 active volunteer contact tracers for New Haven. Her group's trying to figure out all the people potentially exposed to the city's roughly 1,700 confirmed COVID-19 cases.
And so we ask them who they live with. We ask them the names and phone numbers for their household members. We also ask them about other people, so coworkers, friends, other family members who they don't live with, who they have been in contact with starting a couple of days before they started having symptoms.
Health officials then notify those people to let them know they may have been exposed to an anonymous person with COVID-19 and should self-isolate. So far, the city's completed about 850 of these interviews with people who've been infected, says Brian Weeks, an epidemiologist with New Haven's health department.
Contact tracing has been a very important historical model in terms of kind of just addressing and mitigating the spread of an infectious agent, especially one that's respiratory like COVID-19, in the community.
The idea isn't new. Weeks says before coronavirus, he'd use contact tracing for hepatitis C or foodborne illnesses. But the system isn't perfect. Weeks says people can refuse to participate, they'll duck out of phone interviews before they're done, or their contact information is wrong. Still, state health officials say contact tracing will be a crucial part of Connecticut's reopening strategy. State epidemiologist Matt Carter told reporters during a conference call last week that the ultimate goal is to do contact tracing for every confirmed COVID-19 case in Connecticut.
We will start when we have the system up and operational, and we'll, as we gain experience, we'll have a better idea of the percentage of people we identify who are willing to participate in contact investigation.
To achieve that, Connecticut officials say the state will ramp up to around 800 contact tracers, recruiting hundreds of academic volunteers, in addition to about 300 tracers currently working at state and local health departments. The state says that number can be adjusted if needed. Jennifer Curtinis is health director for the Farmington Valley Health District. She says most local health departments have staff trained to do contact tracing, but historically, the money wasn't there to support it.
Even with things like tuberculosis and other diseases for which we might do contact tracing, we sometimes have to, during normal non-pandemic times, rely on state support to do that because our funding in local public health has been lacking.
In a position statement last month, the National Association of County and City Health Officials said at least $3.7 billion in federal money would be needed to support a nationwide contact tracing effort. Governor Ned Lamont said Monday he believes the federal government will reimburse Connecticut for its contact tracing efforts, and the Federal Department of Labor has said it will cover some of these costs.
Right now, my understanding is it will be a COVID-related expense.
But he says figuring out what those expenses are will take time, and Lamont says he's still getting direction about how that money will flow. Lori Freeman, president of the National Association of County and City Health Officials, says it isn't just money that's needed to make sure contact tracing works. It's also ramping up ancillary supports for people being asked to isolate, like access to food or mental health services.
When you're working with really vulnerable populations that may not have the opportunity or ability to isolate or shelter in place for a number of reasons, unless you have a place to send that person to isolate, then the virus is going to spread.
Volunteer contact tracer Paulina Luna, a medical student at Yale, says when she reaches out to do patient interviews in New Haven, people are generally open, especially if they've been self-isolating away from family and friends.
They really appreciate like the chance of talking to someone who's not just calling them just to get information from them, but sometimes just allowing them to share their experience about the symptoms that they've had. They just seem really happy to be able to talk to someone who's spending time with them, even just through like a phone call.
Gathering data to protect the community, but also providing support to people who need it. Both hallmarks, she says, of good contact tracing. Patrick Scahill, Connecticut Public Radio.